Once again, I greet you in the name of Jesus and welcome to this program. It's lovely to have you listen. Let me share with you from Acts of the Apostles in chapter 9 and verses 1 through 30. Now, there's no way I can go verse to verse, but I would like to leave with you some wonderful thoughts that the Word of God is the living Word of God, and it can live in your heart and in your life, and it can cause you to know that you are not only born again, but changed into the likeness of His glory, changed into the likeness of His thinking. Now, before, there were creeds, carefully worded creeds, elaborate church organizations and professional clergy. We read, if you look at this chapter 9 of Acts of the Apostles, we read about the way. Now, this is the story of how it was that Paul the Apostle was on his way to bring all sorts of dreadful things upon the church. Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus called Ananias. And to him the Lord in a vision said, Ananias. And he said, Lord, behold, I am here. And the Lord said to him, Arise, and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, You're crazy, Lord. Lord, I have heard of many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said, Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Whew! Can you imagine that experience? I don't think so. But I would say to you that if we go through the scriptures together for a few moments, we can find a great deal to excite us about following the way. This way is so important that we remember it. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands upon Saul of Tarsus, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. Oh my, what a tremendous thing this is. We find that following on in verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God, And all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem and come hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And so it goes on. After a while, they want to kill him because he's saying all the wrong things. Now, in your life, in your experience, are you prepared to go, even though the going doesn't seem very sensible, even though it seems to be a place where you're going to get hurt or damaged or suffer? I have a friend who goes round the world to Christians who are missionaries. And the other day we were talking on the telephone and he said, I'm off to Syria on Wednesday. That's last Wednesday. I said, what are you going to do there? He said, well, there's some missionaries that have been cut off and they can't get out. I'm going to go to them and minister to them and love them and tell them more about Jesus. Isn't it dangerous, I said, to do such a thing? Yes, brother, but the Lord is with me. How difficult it might become for many. But David declared, This God, his way is perfect. You can read that in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. This God, his way is perfect. In the book of Psalms in 27 and 11, Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on level ground. In Psalm 25 and verse 4, Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. In Psalm 37 and verse 5, Commit your way unto the Lord. In Psalm 103 and verse 7, He made known his ways to Moses. In Isaiah 30 and verse 21, This is the way, walk in it. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In Jeremiah, we read, Let us examine our ways and return to the Lord. The Lord Jesus speaking in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How precious all this is! Have you committed your way unto the Lord? Are you walking in the way? Are you obedient in the way? You see, the apostle teaches us in this wonderful little book of Acts of the Apostles, put together by Dr. Luke, in the previous chapter 8, we read of the apostle saying that Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And this is another story, a wonderful story, a true story, of how it was that a eunuch was traveling, and Philip joined his carriage. He ran and got into the chariot with him, got a lift, if you like. And he saw that he was reading this passage from Isaiah. And as he read from this passage in Isaiah, Philip said to him, Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand? He said, No, I don't. I pray thee, verse 34, Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, what a tremendous thing that is. He was obedient. He was an obedient man. We back up into the verse 26 of this 8th chapter. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read, and I've already read the rest to you, how it was that Jesus was slaughtered. Oh my, what a tremendous story. Philip was obedient. The apostle Paul saw the obedience of Ananias, and Ananias came to him in the way. Now, I'm going to ask you a very serious question that may not sound as serious as it is when I say it, but I have to ask you, are you walking in the way? Are you walking with Jesus? See, there's a broad way, and the end thereof is destruction. But there is a narrow way, and it's the narrow way of believing in Jesus. Are you believing in Jesus? And if you are, that's a very narrow way. That narrow way is beautiful. It's simple. It's quite obvious when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are some words that we might consider for a moment. And it's from chapter 12 of Mark's Gospel and the 14th verse. When they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. And then they go on and ask the question. They've flattered Jesus, and now they come to their cunning. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So someone may say, here is a good verse for us to travel on as Christians, because there should be no crossover between religious things and the state. And that's really not the purpose of my speaking to you, nor is it the purpose of this piece of scripture. But I've heard people say it. The point I'm going to make is this, that Jesus said we have to register and we have to become part of the community in which we live. So if there are taxes to pay, pay them joyfully. Just pay them joyfully. I think it's a joyful thing to pay taxes, so long as I've got the money to pay it. I don't mind paying taxes. God has given me enough money, and whatever that is, if it's taxed, well, they tax in God's money, not mine. And so I give whatever it is that I have to give, and I don't get all worked up over that. I try not to cheat. I try not to be clever. I try to be absolutely as I should be, I believe, humble in this business of giving to the state in which I live and the country in which I live. You see, we have a great need, and our need is to be in the way. Now, at one time we said, well, if a man lives a good life, he obviously is a Christian. If a man is very generous to poor people and to various projects like hospitals and schools and so on, then he is a good man and God will allow him into heaven. That's not so. None of that is so. We have said in past generations, what we need in order to understand God and his goodness, we need more education, and that is not so. And so on, we have put in place various isms to take the place of Jesus. And we have forgotten Jesus, we have pushed him aside, and we have said, in effect, we now have enormous knowledge, especially now with our computerization of everything, we have enormous knowledge and colossal ability to understand. We are very clever people. All of that is true. But you must understand that your mind came from God. Just as your body was given by God, so your mind was given by God, and you are a creation of God. And when you recognize that fact, then you have something to talk about, which is very, very powerful. Let me show you this from the scripture. I would like you to understand that whatever is to go to Caesar, whatever is to go to the government, then send it to the government. Let them get on with it. But God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory. Understand that God doesn't care for the necessity of paying all these taxes and things. That's not his purpose. His purpose is that you are obedient. So don't cheat. That you're obedient unto God, not to the laws of the land, because when you're obedient unto God, you will keep the laws of the land. He told you to do that. And so we need to do it. We come to our greatest need is to be in the way. Now, I'm not talking about when you trip over the dog or the cat in the hallway in the night when it's all dark. I'm not talking about the fact that that dog or cat was in the way. I'm talking about the way to walk, the way to go. A fellow said, how do I get to your house? And I said, well, you have to go here, there and everywhere. And then you take this road and that road and turn left. And 6 miles up the road, you'll find our house on the right-hand side. And you can't really miss it, but you might. But if you do, phone me and I'll tell you where you are and how to get to our house. The interesting thing was that when he arrived at our house, he hadn't phoned me at all. He had followed my directions and he drove straight to our house. And I was surprised because that's the first time in a long time that somebody hasn't been phoning me 3 or 4 times to say, well, I'm at such a place, where do I go now? And this man had come all the way from Portland and here he was on my doorstep. And he said, well, I'm here. I was glad to see him, very glad. I said, how did you know to get here? He said, oh, I followed your directions. That was the way. You see, follow the directions of the scriptures, and it's the way of God. It's the way God would have us go. I used the expression a moment ago. I'll use it again. There is a broad way. We think that through our much learning, we can come to God. We can't. There's no way that we can get to God that way. We have to be like a child, and like a child we have to be believing Jesus. Beautiful little hymn I learned as a child, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, said Jesus, forbid them not, don't stop children. Now with all the divorces we've got today, we're stopping children. With all the taking over of our children by the state, we're hurting children. And we're forbidding them to come to Jesus. They learn things in school that forbid them to come to Jesus. So our children were taught Jesus is first. We have to render unto this world whatever it is that we have to render, but we have to go with Jesus first. That's the straight way. That's the narrow way. That's the gate that leads to eternal life. The broad way never leads to eternal life. Never. So if you turn over a new leaf, if you turn away from alcohol without Jesus, you have not got on the narrow way. If you turn away from smoking without Jesus, you have not turned to the narrow way. I went with some friends, I thought, and we went hunting. It wasn't long before I realized that I didn't speak their language at all. Their language was laced with cussing and cursing and taking the Lord's name in vain, to the point where I would go off in the morning and hunt alone, to the point where I would go away from them as much as I could so that I did not have to interact with them. I had not taken my vehicle with me, so I was reliant upon their transportation. But it got to a place where it was so horrible for me that I just decided I'm going home. And they agreed to bring my gear home, and they did. And I got a lift in my son-in-law's aeroplane, and I flew back. He doesn't have that aeroplane anymore, but I flew back and away from the influence of these people. It was a broad way. They still don't know that Jesus saved them. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. When I challenged one of them on what he was saying, he said, "Well, I can't stop. I can't stop." Let me show you how the way begins. Chapter 9 of Acts of the Apostles, and we'll conclude with this. But it's very important to see it. Saul of Tarsus was the person that God had his eye on. And Saul of Tarsus was stopped by God. And God got his attention. It's very significant that he was blind 3 days. Jesus was 3 days in the tomb. It's very significant that in that time of blindness, he had to be led by the hand. It's very significant that the word of God tells us that Ananias went to him and touched him with his hand, and he received his sight. And Jesus, after 3 days in the tomb, 3 days, I would believe, in hell, Jesus rose from the dead, triumphant over death and triumphant over all the foes that death brings. And Jesus was light and liberty and power and purpose. So Jesus met with Saul of Tarsus. That's how the way begins. Jesus makes himself known to us. Ananias, it was the preacher, and how the way grows when God is so gracious as to send to us a preacher. How shall they believe unless they hear? And how shall they hear unless they preach? And you have the word of God preached to you by men and men of God. And let me emphasize the man part. We seem to dilute what the scripture says, and we need to use the men to share the gospel in a way that the way grows in the heart of a man or a woman. There needs to be a change taking place. And notice also that Barnabas turns up in this story. He is the son of consolation, a person who takes all the rough stuff and reduces it to sweetness and gentleness. This caravan that the Apostle Paul was on took 6 days to travel from Jerusalem to Damascus, swaying in the saddle of the camel, maybe, or sitting on a donkey, or maybe just swaying in one of those things that they carried. I don't know what he was using, but I have to say it couldn't have been a very comfortable ride. You see, the potter's hand was on Saul, and it was wonderful that the potter's hand was moving on Saul, and Saul soon would be changed to Paul. But at the moment he was still Saul, and he was a wicked man. He was without Christ. And you have to see what he writes about this. It's incredible that this man understood so much, and the way he expresses himself. And we have to go to see this in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, if you want to be American, and I'm not American, so I say 2. But if you go into 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us this ministry of reconciliation." Now, we forget these things. There's no question we do. We forget that God recreates us in this world. And we become so recreated that old things pass away. You're cussing, you're cursing, you're smoking, you're boozing, you're playing of cards and all that sort of thing. All these things that we dare not mention today because they're not politically right is foolishness. Political righteousness is not righteousness. Political righteousness does not claim Jesus. Jesus, full of righteousness, full of grace, full of love, full of tenderness, full of care. He says to us, come to me, I will help you. Come to me, I will cuddle you close. Now, that's not actually in the scripture, but when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, he was saying, come unto me like a child comes unto me, is the original version. As a child comes, come. Nothing in my hand I bring, writes the hymn writer. Simply to thy cross I cling. Will you come? Have you come? Are all these things of the world of the past and your past life? It may cost you a friendship. It may cost you a relationship. Get out of it if it's not a righteous thing and go on with Jesus and he will carry you through. Well, I have to stop, and I got to preaching a little there, but I'd make no apologies. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that your blessings shall be on all those that hear these words, and these words might become life in their lives. Oh, Lord, change our lives that we may glorify your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.